The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crishan on Sunday, September 9th, 2018.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Thank you for being here this morning and being a part of our time together today. Today is indeed the day the Lord has made. He's unveiled it in sunlight. He's brought us together in grace. Today is indeed the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, thank you so much for a beautiful day that unfolds before us. May we come, may we worship, may we praise you. And Father, in our first song this morning, in our call to worship, we're going to sing, "This is the day the Lord has made." Let our hearts rejoice. May you be praised. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The liturgy this morning is James 2 and the verses 1 through 17. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You will do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judges by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A little recap for just a minute. Remember that James is the half-brother of Jesus. And remember that Jesus doesn't go actively into ministry until age 30. So James and Jesus are kind of around each other for a good little while. And they get to know each other. And James gets to know Jesus. Jesus gets to know James. And so somewhere in all of this, Mary's husband, Joseph, dies. And that means that it would fall to the oldest son to take care of the mother in Jewish tradition. And that would have been the job of Jesus. Now, Jesus has chosen to go out into ministry to fulfill God's call in him and who he is. And that has left James sort of in the lurch at home to take care of things, which shouldn't be. And if you look closely and read your Bible a little closer, you'll figure out that Jesus didn't pick good people to hang out with. I mean, just really think about it. Matthew's the tax collector. Matthew was a Levite. He should have been a priest, but instead he's a tax collector. Peter's this old guy, poor fisherman. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were a handful. They were into trouble. They called them the sons of thunder. Now, they didn't get called that for being Sunday school boys. You know, that's just the way it is. When you read the history of these disciples, whom, and one of them was a thief, Judas later on, and Paul, I mean, he picked Paul, Saul becomes Paul, and he was a killer of Christians. So look at the people who Jesus chose. James and his family probably wasn't very happy with the way Jesus was doing things. He was going out through the countryside, hanging out with bad people, and telling people he didn't even have a home. You know, I don't even... Birds have nests and foxes have holes, but I don't have any place to lay my head. Now that's big family at home, mom, no place. Boy, what do you mean? And then here comes the son. He is in this house. It couldn't do anything any worse. You see, in Jewish culture, it was this. And this goes to the heart of what James is going to address. In the Jewish culture, if you were fat and wealthy, then God was blessing you. If you had health, family, money, home, all of this stuff, God was blessing you because that's the only way you could get it in Jewish culture. We're talking about Jews. James is writing to Jews. James was a Jew, good Jew, and he was writing to, and he says, my brothers and sisters, he's writing to the Jews in Diaspora, verse 1. He's talking to the Jews. And so now, as Jesus is going out and doing all this stuff, James is stepping back looking, thinking, He's look who he's hanging out with. And Jesus, even the worst of the worst were lepers. The worst of the worst were lepers. If you touched a leper, if you had anything to do with a leper, it was just horrible. The only thing that was worse than a leper was a Gentile leper. You know, for the Jewish person, I mean, that was just the bottom of the barrel. And the Jews said that if you were sick, then God had judged you. And since God had judged you, whether you were a leper, you were blind, whether you was whatever your ailment was, poor, disadvantaged, whatever it was, then that means God had judged you and God was punishing you, and they were not going to get involved in God's punishment. There was this huge separation between what they believed was God's blessings and God's punishment. And James is saying, hey, you know, look at that a little closer. That's not right. Now, I think James is a little heavy on the side of the rich, and we'll get into that in just a minute. So now James is writing to his brothers and sisters, and he says to them, beloved. He uses that word a couple times, but let's go there, chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers and sisters. James is familiar with the people to whom he is writing. They are an early community of Christian believers who were Jewish. They've come straight out of this tradition, this law, thousands of years of it. They've come out of that tradition, but how do you ever just really shrug off tradition? How many of you have family traditions? How many of you, and I'm trying to search my mind here, back in the East, we don't think we have that here. You have what's called Decoration Day. Do you have that here? Memorial Day? It's the same, but it's not back East. No. Every cemetery, family cemetery back East, has a Decoration Day. And that is a day that the church, if it's a church cemetery, most of them are back there, they remember the birth of that church. At my first church, it was 1839 is when that church began. Cemetery, the first person that was buried in the original cemetery was 1839. So we had a decoration day the first Sunday in May. Every year was decoration day. And we had three cemeteries because the church had moved. And you had to go put flowers at all of those cemeteries. You decorated the graves. I called it worshiping the dead. You know, it's okay, but it was just, those people had been dead for, you know, how long? 150, they didn't even have family, but you still did it. And it was so sad because they just went around and put a flower. They didn't know who was in them. Most of them were just stones. That's what bothered me more. But we had this decoration day where you would go out and you would follow that tradition. And lo and behold, a lot of people couldn't remember why the tradition started. But they did it every first Sunday in May. And I asked Clifton McMurray, who was the oldest living church member at that time, I said, Clifton, when did this start? He said, I don't know. See, that's tradition. You don't remember, but you've always done it. Remember that the Jewish person to whom James was writing, this had always been the way it was. It's just what we did. We didn't exactly know why. We hadn't looked into it. We hadn't researched it. So I started checking into that tradition of decorating the graves, and it was to remember the soldiers who had died in the Spanish-American Wars way back, you know, whenever. And it was to decorate the graves. And Memorial Day, when we decorate Veterans Day and things like that, was to remember those fallen soldiers. Those had given their life, but it had transformed over the years into a decorating everybody's grave. And then it became a race or something where everybody kind of sort of tried to outdo the other one, you know, on the decorating the graves. And it got so elaborate that we had to bring a dumpster in to clean the graves off so that we could go mow the grass. That's how bad it got. Because you know, when you're in Southeast first of May, it can be 100. Flowers don't live long, so they bought fake flowers. And anyway, we forget. And that's what had happened to these Jewish people. They were observing the traditions. They didn't know why. They didn't know why they started. And the traditions were wrong. You see, Christ had called them from that law to grace. And James had become a believer, though he didn't start out as one. And he remembered all of what Jesus did more than what Jesus said. He wasn't there for the Sermon on the Mount. He wasn't there for the Beatitudes. But he saw how Jesus lived his life. And James is focused on the doing, not just the talking. So now we get this, brothers and sisters. When somebody rich comes to church, how do you treat them? Versus somebody that's poor, how do you treat them? So let's get down to the key verse that I want you to underline in your Bible or write down to underline later when you get home is actually verse 13. Verse 13 will be the heart of where we're going this morning. In our society today, there's the fame and fortune crowd who still preach the Jewish tradition, though they don't know that's what it is, of if you are having problems, then you're sinning. If you're not being blessed, then you're doing wrong. If those things, and then if you are doing good, that means you're really blessed. I call it the fame and fortune gospel. And then there's the click gospels. I like those where it's popular, where it's the end thing. It's the fad. It's the newest thing going, and people kind of attract that. And what I find is all of these things are miles wide and millimeters thick. They're not depth. What does it say to the person who rolls into the Fame and Fortune Church on Sunday morning in a wheelchair? Sounds like this Jewish custom, doesn't it? You're in that wheelchair because you didn't do God's will and you're being punished. Fame and fortune. James is coming against that a little bit here. A whole lot, to be honest. And he says, when they come in, how do you treat them? Now, do we realize this here in Rock Springs, Wyoming? Do we ever realize a social difference? Sure we do. But you might not have noticed it, but I have. Let me tell you a little bit about my growing up experience. I grew up poor as dirt. We were so poor we couldn't even pay attention. I mean, that's just the way it was. You know, a pickpocket went broke in our community. That's just the way it was. You know, there wasn't anything to get but lint and maybe a hole in the pocket. We were so poor that we got food from the county. And I had to take my sled. I didn't have a wagon. Wagons were expensive, but you could make a sled out of dogwood. And I had a sled. Daddy wouldn't go. I had to go up when the commodity truck, anybody know what commodities are? I had to go to the commodity truck when they showed up from the county, and they'd say, who are you picking up for, boy? And I'd tell them my daddy's name. So you the family that needs this. These were county employees, by the way. Yes, sir, we are. How tall did that make you feel? You got all that free food because you couldn't provide for yourself. Drag it home. How'd you feel about that? And then at Christmas time, we didn't get Christmas presents. The church brought us Christmas presents. We got an orange, an apple, 4 walnuts, 3 Brazil nuts, and some peppermints. In a brown bag, that was Christmas present. And they came to our house, those good church people, and they said, since you can't afford Christmas, on behalf of the church, we give you these gifts that all of us have come together so that you could have some. Do you know what it's like to go to school with the same clothes that you've worn for 3 years? Because when school was over, you put them up so you'd have them next year. Do you know what people say about that? When they've got a brand new pair of Converse tennis shoes and you've got the boots that'll hopefully last you all winter. One pair. That's how I grew up. Sawmill Village. Rough talk. Most people were level-headed. You could tell because the tobacco juice ran out of both corners. But we were looked down upon. We were white trash. White trash. I have been judged, because I have a southern accent, as dumb, southern, lazy, redneck. Right here in Rock Springs. You see, it isn't always about the money. Sometimes you get judged because you're different. It's okay. I don't mind. It's okay. Have you been there? You know, there's a flip side to that too, because we used to judge those people that had plenty. I mean, look, tell me something. If you're in a tuxedo and you walk in to the McDonald's, how are people going to look at you? Come on. Don't tell me you're not going to poke fun a little bit or wonder where they're going or what's going on. It was kind of like we had a guy come to the sawmill, and he had a brand new, I'm talking about a brand new, 69 Chevrolet 3/4 ton pickup. Now, if you want to get a bunch of rednecks at the sawmill excited, show up in a brand new pickup truck. That thing was sounding good, 327, granny speed, 4-speed, coilover rear springs, long bed, fleet side. I won't ever forget it. That thing was blue, metallic blue. It was that thing had power steering and air conditioning. Don't you laugh. Our cars didn't even have heaters. You do know heaters used to be an option, right? You didn't put any, we didn't even get hubcaps. Somebody already got them off. They made dog dishes. You think I'm laughing? You go back east and do some archaeological information, and you'll find out in the Appalachian Mountains, North Carolina, there was more hubcaps feeding dogs than there was on cars. That's just the way it was. We went out there, and that old boy was getting out of that pickup truck. He had on brand new overalls. He had on brand new boots. And he had on a new shirt that he cuffed up. You know about cuffing up, don't you? Yeah. Had packed cigarettes in his pocket. Full pack. They were store-bought. What are you laughing at? My daddy smoked Prince Albert. That was a lot cheaper. Anybody know what Prince Albert is? You know what? That's the best can in the world to put your red worms in to go fishing. Poke holes in it. Slips right in your hip pocket. Worms on the go. And you can get another one, put it in the other pocket, and put corn in that one. Neither one of them's legal in a trout stream, by the way. Well, you didn't worry about the police. They didn't come up there. I've noticed something, Mike. The police don't come around a bunch of old sore-headed rednecks much. They just come to clean up when we get done. That's what would happen. We didn't know what a police car looked like. They didn't come up there. Sheriff Kermit had come. But he'd drive his own car. But anyway, this old boy, he got out of that pickup truck. He had slick backed hair. You remember what the 60s hairdos looked like? And I was just a boy, and I was drooling. That was the prettiest truck I'd ever seen. It sounded good. New overalls, new boots, new shirt, rolled up sleeves. And Othar Pritchard run the sawmill. And Othar went out there, what can I help you with? I like that truck. The old boy said, I need to buy some lumber. And Othar just grinned. He said, a lot of lumber I've got. You know what? That old boy paid for some lumber right there. You see, there's a difference. When the poor people get a chance, it'll come home. James says, In Jesus, there should be no partiality. In Jesus, there isn't rich or poor. There isn't male or female. There isn't Jew or slave. There isn't law or legalism. Verse 13 says, mercy triumphs. You see, I don't care if you're rich or if you're poor, you sin. I don't care if you have everything and have nothing. You can make mistakes. You can go wrong. You can make bad decisions. You can be found in a tight spot. You can do what James warned about. You can judge others out of your poverty or out of your excess. But I want to give you one more thing in closing this morning. God's not the only one that'll bless you. And we'll give you something. You think about this. The devil will bless you too. You see, we still have that idea that a blessing is something rich and wonderful. God will bless you in many different ways. He'll bless you in heart. He'll bless you with patience through trials and tribulations. He'll give you strength for whatever lay ahead. God will bless you with family, for love and grace in many ways. But I got news for you, the devil will show up with a blessing or two as well. He'll bless you with a house that you can't afford to stop working to pay for. He'll bless you with so many toys that you can't tithe. He'll bless you with so much abundance that you can't take time for a vacation with your family. You see, the devil will bless you right out of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and your family all at the same time. He'll bless you with a work that's so fulfilling that you can't think about anything else. He'll place all kinds of worldly blessings, fame, fortune, and you'll think it's God's blessing. But ask yourself, is this helping me love my neighbor? Is this helping me hear the cry of the needy? Because it says that if we don't show mercy, then the love of God isn't there, isn't it? Mercy triumphs. Jesus would say to that rich young ruler, what does it profit you to gain the world and lose your soul? Be careful. The devil will bless you in many ways, and when he's blessing you out of your relationship with God, that's not God at work. You see, God's about relationship. God's about relationship with each other and with him. And that which separates us from God and those relationships with God ain't his work. Do you hear that? The sermon title this morning is, which one will it be? Law, mercy, and grace. What is mercy, preacher? Mercy is, you've messed up. I've got you dead to rights. And you deserve punishment. And in our case, God's got us dead to right. We're sinners. But instead of giving us what we deserve, we receive mercy. Grace. You catch a lot more flies with honey than you do vinegar. Love will overcome all of it. For God first loved us. So which one will it be? Mercy or law? Partialism or impartialness? It's our choice as Christians. How many of you have had somebody do something wrong in your life, hurt you in some way? Don't raise a hand for this one. Have you let it go? Let it go. You don't need to carry it. Let it go. Mercy. Let it go. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Our gracious and loving God, may mercy triumph in our lives. But Father, it is so hard. It is so hard to let some things go. It is so hard to not fall victim to the success, fame, and fortune deceptions in the world around us. Father, help us to know that in Christ we're all the same. Blessed to be a blessing, and that you are with us in everything. Father, help us to realize that Satan wants to pull us away from you, that he wants to bless us out of a relationship with you. It'll seem so right, but the end so wrong. So, Father, today we thank you that we have received mercy from you. And Father, we pray that we can extend mercy to others. Give us strength. Give us strength. Give us strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mercy triumphs. God is with us if we let him. God holds our hand if we'll reach out ours. If we live in humility, then James is right. Faith without works is dead. In other words, may we live it out in mercy, to give mercy as we have received. May we go as the church, to be the church. And may we live out mercy. Now may God's grace and peace go with you. May His hand hold you and give you strength. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.